As President Trump left the White House this morning on his way to North Carolina, he was asked about the news that Christine Blasey Ford, the woman accusing his Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault in high school, does not want to testify at a hearing on Monday unless the FBI investigates her claim first.
Look, if she shows up and makes a credible showing, that'll be very interesting and we'll have to make a decision. But I can only say this. He is such an outstanding man. Very hard for me to imagine that anything happens.
Let's bring in our political strategist. And I'm here in Washington today, so I am looking right across the table at them. John Brabender, Republican strategist. Hi, John.
Hello. Good to be here.
Good to have you. And Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, I'm here rounding out the boy band.
Right, exactly. So at this point, is Kavanaugh going to be confirmed without a hearing from Christine Blasey Ford, if indeed she does hold off unless there's an FBI investigation, which there may very well not be, John?
Well, I think let's just back up a little bit. I think everybody on both sides of the party says these are serious allegations. She has every right to come forward. She should be heard. And it should be weighed on both her and what Kavanaugh have to say. So everybody agrees with that, which is what originally the Democrats asked for. And so the hearing was supposed to happen. Now we're hearing that instead of a hearing, they're backing off of that and would prefer to have an FBI investigation, which signals to a lot of people that they weren't really serious about Plan A and that this really has become, how can we delay? And so I do think that the Republicans are going to say, look, here's the time. You can come either in person, you can submit testimony, whatever you want to do, and we will take account. But if indeed that does not happen and she's a no-show, I do think they will move forward at least with the vote.
Jamal?
You know, there are a lot of ghosts in the room right now as we talk about all this. I mean, Anita Hill controversy, you know, I think a lot of these senators may want to talk to someone like Joe Biden about how history has treated them in a similar moment. The Me Too movement, there's a specter of elections that are coming. There's a lot of history. And I think the stakes just don't get higher than where they are right now for everyone involved. The nominee, obviously, the senators, but also for Dr. Ford. So Professor Ford. So I think we've got to find a way to get her claims addressed and deal fairly with the accused.
But isn't her coming and testifying and sharing with everybody what happened and from her perspective, isn't that the way to do it?
Look, I've been through a background check for a federal job, and the FBI and Office of Personnel Management or whoever else, all the agencies are charged with doing background checks on people. If this had come up during the background check for Judge Kavanaugh, the FBI would have had to deal with it. The only difference here is the timing of when it's come up. The FBI could absolutely go and ask people questions about this without the hearing happening first.
But the timing is the suspect part. Evidently, Senator Feinstein and other Democrats knew about this now over 5 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago would have been the appropriate time to say, let's have an FBI investigation. This is so important. But to bring all this forward and then say,
okay, if you found out today that Judge Kavanaugh had killed somebody, would you say, oh, we should have known about that 5 weeks ago? No, you would want to investigate it.
But I will tell you this. If they knew 5 weeks ago that somebody was saying Judge Kavanaugh killed somebody, I sure would want it to have been public then, and there should have been a fair hearing of the evidence of that.
Well, let's listen here to one of the senators on the Judiciary Committee. This is John Kennedy, Republican. He was pressed on what was more important, a vote on Kavanaugh before the midterms or finding out the truth about what happened and whether he felt comfortable voting on the Kavanaugh nomination without an FBI investigation.
I'm going to cross that bridge when we come to it. I think there still is a reasonable possibility, given that Dr. Ford has changed her mind a couple of times. I'm not criticizing her, that she will appear on Monday, and I hope she does.
John, it does sound from the way Republicans are talking about this, and especially the White House, that this is very different than every other issue that has come up over the last 2 years. They're being very careful. They don't want to attack Ford. What is at stake for Republicans with this
well,
in the midterms?
I think that's a good thing. I think culturally as a society, we have changed in a positive way, that we say that there are women who need to be more empowered with a voice to be able to come forward safely and give these claims. And that's all anybody wants. I think, though, without saying it, there still is some suspicion of that she is being used a little bit as a pawn by some of the Democrats rather than them being totally forthcoming. But look, I want to say it's not just Republicans. I think America has changed, and I think that's something extremely
positive.
But
do you think Republicans are worried about their own elections coming up in November and that this is going to be an issue that really matters to voters?
I think this is an issue where a lot of people have learned that you have to show first a certain amount of empathy for the person coming forward and not try to make them into somebody who's the accuser, into somebody who's the negative person or the one that should be challenged. And so I think we've all learned that, I think not just Republicans.
Jamal, what would you advise Democrats right now about how to handle this situation?
Again, I think this is so difficult for everyone involved. Listen, the three of us guys are sitting here having this conversation, right? I think if women, women who are such an important part of the electorate, particularly this year, and we're seeing candidates like Ayanna Pressley, who we had on Hill TV the other day, who put a statement about believing Dr. Ford on this, and women have such a visceral reaction to this, and many of them want this to be addressed in a very serious way. I think it's treacherous for everybody. Democrats can't look like they're trying to use this just for political purposes, but Republicans can't look like they're trying to avoid this to ram through a nomination of someone who there may be some more doubt about today than there was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, just quick best guess. Do you think that there's going to be testimony on Monday by Ford and Kavanaugh?
I get the sense that at this point, Ford seems less likely to show up. I think that if she doesn't show up, there will not be testimony by either one.
And what about you, Jamal? What do you think?
I think that this is a game of chicken, and we do not know how it's going to end.
Let's talk about the midterms in general. We were speaking yesterday on the show with former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, a Democrat, who told us he thinks that Democrats have a 40% chance now of taking the Senate. Jamal, do you agree with that?
At least 40. Here's what's happening, I think, in the electorate. There, if you look at what happened in Georgia in the John Ossoff race, if you looked at what happened in Alabama in the Doug Jones race, if you look at what happened in Pennsylvania with the Conor Lamb race, what we are seeing, if what we are seeing is holding, which is that particularly white suburban women are perhaps collapsing on Republicans in terms of their turnout and their support, we may see an election day that rivals 2010 or 2000 or 1994, where there was such a huge swing in the other direction.
Yeah, I think you got to be careful. I think one thing you have to do is separate the House and the Senate. And the House is much more likely to be sort of a wave type election. That's how people vote. In Senate races, they're almost more like governor candidates where they know each candidate. I think the Republicans probably have about a 75% chance of keeping the Senate. But I think there are going to be significant and serious losses in the House.
How much do you think it's going to be about the economy?
Well, the economy is very important always. But what may be happening this year is that because the economy that Barack Obama got fixed is humming along so well and Donald Trump hasn't screwed it up, what may be happening is that people are willing to look at other issues. And now they feel secure enough that they're willing to let their values about having a president we can respect and having an administration that seems honest and not filled with nepotism and criminality, having that may matter more than having a good economy.
John, it's interesting. We've been out talking to voters around the country, and one of the things that I've heard even from Trump supporters is, yeah, things are going well right now. I wish you would stop tweeting. They're still saying that. They don't like all of these scandals all the time, but they're with him on a lot of the things that he's doing that they believe that he's helping them in the economy.
Yeah, well, look, I don't mind him tweeting because he's built up a following that's bigger than CNN, Fox News, or MSNBC combined on their viewership. The problem is what he tweets is that he is still running a campaign where you try to seize the day as far as an earned media standpoint. That does not make any sense as far as being president. And so I just think he needs to be more selective what he's saying and use it as a more powerful, positive tool than oftentimes to attack. And it just makes him look bad.
We've been talking. Go
yes,
ahead.
And if you had, as what's the saying, you can't have Falstaff and have him thin.
Well, but the truth of the matter is that's always been Donald Trump's style. We shouldn't be exactly shocked by this. But on the other hand, I think that as a president, you have an opportunity to not just play to your base, but to expand that base. And that's the one thing I feel that the administration hasn't done a good enough job is to expand who his supporters are. And I honestly think he has an opportunity to do that.
We've been talking so much this week about what's been going on with the Supreme Court nomination that we haven't spent that much time talking about what just happened recently. Paul Manafort, the former campaign chairman, saying he's going to cooperate with the special counsel. President Trump said this morning there is no problem if he tells them the truth. Jamal, what do you think is at stake here?
Well, there's a lot at stake. I'm actually very surprised that Manafort is flipping. I assumed he was much more worried about his Russian friends than he was about the federal penal system. But perhaps he has something to say that is important about the president, or else I don't know why they would cut him a deal.
John?
Look, I hope he's very truthful on everything he says. That's what he should do. The one thing you have to remind people, though, is this president barely knew Manafort. Manafort was barely in the campaign.
He lived in the Trump Tower.
Well, but he did that before the campaign.
He
got let go from the campaign. And so, and all these dealings that we're talking about have absolutely no relationship with the campaign. So, frankly, if he did bad things, he should be put away.
John Brabender, Republican strategist, and Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.